I read it again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you, you and I, from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He will recover you with His pinions, and under His wing shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plot and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. And as you witness the reward of the wicked, verse 9, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. So our topic, which is dwelling in His presence, you see those verses that I read, we are still going to go back there. When we say dwell, what do we mean by dwell? At least we are scholars. What do we mean by dwell? According to the dictionary, dwelling is a building or a place of shelter to live in. We are dwelling in this sanctuary. It's a dwelling. It's a place of residence, our different homes, where we abode. Thank God, you know, I was teaching the little one this morning, and I was telling them, because our topic is, thank God that we have a place to live. That we have a place to live. See the weather when the summer, so we are in summer season now. When the weather is so hot outside, 90-something degree. When you go outside, you are wishing to, oh, let me get home and put on my AC to cool down, to make us chill and relax, because we are enjoying that cool weather. So that is a home. That is the physical. Dwelling is a place where someone lives, where we live. We have our own different homes. So the term could refer, that dwelling could refer to a tent. You know, in those days, in the book of Genesis 25:27, they live in a tent. So the boys grew. That was the sons of who? Who remember? We are all scholars. And the boys grew, Esau and Jacob. And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tent. That was where they lived in those days in the Old Testament. And we can refer to that dwelling as a tent, where they live. At least they have something to cover them. And or a house, 2 Samuel 7:1. It's just an illustration. We can write it down. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, as I just mentioned to us, that dwelling is a place where somebody lives. So now, what is the original plan and the purpose of God for us to dwell in His presence? God created man in His image to reflect His nature on earth. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. You see, that is God. He made us to have His nature. That is the way, that is the original purpose of God for all of us. He wants man to dwell in His presence every day, every minute, 24/7. He wants us to dwell in His presence. God desires us to make our dwelling place His presence. This implies that God wants us to make Him our home, our harbor. I'm not talking about physical home now. We are going to get there. I'm talking about the home that he made for us. He made Adam and Eve, and he put them in the Garden of Eden to nurture it. In the cool of the day, he comes there to check on them. That is the same way God wants to have that mutual cordial relationship with us. He wants to talk to us every minute as we are sitting, as we are walking, as we are driving. We don't have to close our eyes before God talks to us. He can talk to us anytime. And we are sleeping. You see, Daddy was telling us that he dreamt that we are in praise mat. And indeed, we are in praise mat. We are in praise mat because the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And really, he has inhabited our praises this morning. So, for example, we all know, recognize, and can easily identify our homes. Now, when you travel, you know, you go on vacation. Either you go on vacation for 3 months or for 1 year. Do you think when you come back to go back to your house, do you think you can miss the way to your house? Do you think you can miss the way to your house? We cannot miss the way to our house. So we know our house. Also, we should not miss the way to our God, our Creator, the one that infused strength into our heart and into our lives, the one that gave us life. It's because of him. That's where we are living. It's because of him. That's where we are breathing. That's why the book of Acts says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. We have the strength. We have the vigor. We have everything that we need because we have a great and mighty God. So what I was saying, recognize and can easily, for example, we all know, recognize and can easily identify our homes. The same way God desires that we recognize him as our harbor, as our home, as the one that we are living our life for, where we dwell 24 hours, 7 days. In the book of Genesis 3, 8 to 10, God came, we can write it down, we are not going to read it. God came walking in the cool of the day to visit Adam and Eve. But they hid themselves. Why? Because they sinned. They did what God told them not to do. They did something not right in the sight of God. They sinned and they were hiding themselves. They hid from God. So God, even though he pronounced judgment, he pronounced some things on them, but God desires, God loves us so much that he says he spared not his own son. God, that he did not spare his own son. He released his son to come and die for us, to come and love us, to come and deliver us, to come and save us, to come and heal us, as we sang in those 3 verses of those songs. He came to save us. He has come to heal us. He has come to deliver us. So if God will not spare his only son, do you think he will leave you without comfort? Do you think he will leave us without being with us? Even though there are issues of life, there are things that happen, but God said he would never leave us. He will never forsake us. So we should make him our dwelling place. There is nowhere we can run to. There is one verse in Psalm that we can't hide. There is nowhere we hide. Even if we hide under the chair, he sees us. He knows what is going on. So he wants us to make him our dwelling place. God desires a mutual and loving fellowship with man before Adam and Eve sinned. Now, restoration. After the original purpose of God that he made for us, they sinned. And now, we have a restoration. We have a reconciliation because he restored us back. He reconciled us. Can we read Psalm 51, verse 12? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. We are going to read all those verses before 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 19, please. And that is, that God was in Christ. That God was in Christ. Because the Bible says in the book of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Don't go there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
So he said that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their sin to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. He has restored us back to himself because he desires that cordial relationship. He desires us to make him our dwelling place, as we read in that Psalm 91, 1 to 9. So he desires us to dwell in him. God's most highest desire is to bring us back to himself because he knows that the peace and joy we all want, our heart is yearning for our lives, can only be found in him. That's why the Bible says we can do nothing except through Christ. We have to know that Christ is the one that saved us. He's the one that formed us in our mother's womb. When we go to the book of Psalm 139, he said in our mother's womb, he formed us. Even before we have been formed, he knew about you and I. He knows our name. He knows about us. Before the baby is being formed in the womb, thank God for our pregnant woman. You will deliver safely in Jesus' name. You see, God knew that those kids are coming forth in those wombs. So he desired to have that relationship with us. That's why when he formed Adam from the sand, and then he now breathed that physical life. That's why we are breathing now. He now breathed that breath of life. So you see that God desired to make him our dwelling place. That is to dwell in his presence every day of our lives. So, Colossians 1:20. Okay. By him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth, things in heaven, you know, let's write it down. I will just go further because of our time. So, God restored us back to the communal relationship, companionship by sending Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ, the second Adam, his only begotten son, and he restored us back to God so that we can have that cordial relationship with him, so that we can be able to talk to him anytime. You are sleeping, you are driving, God talks to us every time if we desire. Because the Bible says, if ye are willing and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. He's not forcing us. He doesn't force us. He wants us to have that willingness to accept him, to have that willingness to make him our dwelling place, because he doesn't force us. He always, God always talks to us. He's talking to us with a love, because he's a loving father, and he expects us to always give him an answer, open our heart so that he can come in and dine with us every time. So I'm not talking about a physical dwelling now. Dwelling in his presence. I'm talking about spiritual dwelling in his presence. Because when we give our life to Christ, it is through the Holy Spirit that makes us to be able to understand that, oh, I need Christ in my life. I need to invite him to be my Lord and my Savior. So that Holy Spirit is what we are talking about. Because when we have the Spirit of Christ, we are of ease. And that Spirit is what I'm talking about. That is to have that communion with that spiritual indwelling of God in our lives. So now, what happens when we dwell in his presence? Because when we dwell in his presence, things happen, great and mighty things, like what we experienced this morning. That is, God is dwelling in us. We allow him. We give him chance. We allow him. We just went with the flow this morning. Brethren, I want us to always go with the flow of God. Even if we have plan. You see, I tried doing all this after our great, wonderful retreat yesterday. We really enjoyed ourselves in the presence of God. And God enabled me. It is not by power. It is not by mind, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I was able to do this because of God's strength upon my life. But as I sat down there and I just go with the flow, because we have to allow God to do whatever he wants to do. He's the one that owns us. He's the one that owns this church. It is not Pastor Emmanuel. It's not Pastor Dorothy. God owns our life. So we have to allow him to be our dwelling place. We have to dwell in it
presence every day, either at our place of work, when we are dwelling in his presence, a lot of wonderful things happen. In the presence of God, that is where we have to be, because the world is full of wickedness and things to make us ungodly. A lot of things are happening. You will hear news, you will hear that. Something happened, I think, 2 Sundays ago. On Monday was the time that I heard about it, the day after, because I don't listen to news. I'm so sorry about that. So, you see, in the world is full of wickedness. It's full of ungodly things. You go out in the world, but we can't close our eyes to be walking. Do you think so? If we close our eyes, we will sleep. We will fall down. But we have to open our eyes. But as we open our eyes, some things that we are not supposed to be seeing, we just make believe that you are going, you are not seeing that thing. Because some things that you see outside there, it makes you so feel so bad. But when we allow God to dwell, when we dwell in the presence of God, it doesn't bother us. Because we are not of ourselves anymore. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Because we are now a new creature by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God. That's why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who has given us the strength. It's just by the grace of God that we are different from those wickedness and ungodly things that is out there. So now, but when we dwell in his presence, my brothers and my sisters, we will be able to take our stand, our head right up, that we are not going to be part of it because we are dwelling in his presence. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy and there are pleasures evermore. That is Psalm 16, verse 11. So when we dwell in his presence, we stay there 24/7. We encamped with him. That is, we make our abode with him. We stood right there with him. Allow him to direct us. Allow him to say things that we are supposed to say. Allow him to make us quiet when we are supposed to be quiet. Allow him to make us to talk and say things in his own way, in his own will. Not just making our flesh to act out. But when we dwell in his presence, he helps us to do what we are supposed to do. We will be infused with the ability to think and act rightly and act like God. Because the Bible says in the book of Psalm, ye are gods because we are of his. And it's like we are bona fide member of his household. So when we allow him to dwell, when we dwell in his presence, then we'll be able to act and think like God. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 from verse 1. No, I would prefer Amplify. But I have it. Let me read it. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight, you see, where, as I mentioned, that the world is full of wickedness and ungodly things happening out there. But that is what verse 1 is saying. He said, blessed is that man who does not do those things, who does not include himself in the wickedness that is in the world. But verse 2 says, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precept, the instruction, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, that is constantly, continually, meditate, ponders, and study. You meditate. I'm not talking about the meditation in quotes by some people. I am talking about meditating on the word of God, the word of God, by day and by night.
is telling us that those, when we dwell in his presence, this is what we have, because we continually dwell and meditate and ponder on the word of God. And then we will now see that things will go the way God wants it to go in our life. We will have peace of mind. God will constantly direct us in the right path. We will not just do things in our own will, as we experienced this morning, as we've been always experiencing. We will not do our will. You see, all the pastors, we are given assignment to come and minister. We don't just take our pen and start saying, this is what I want to, this is what I want to. But we seek the face of God, because we are dwelling in his presence. Because without dwelling in his presence, we cannot come here and give you whatever we want. But we allow God. And when we allow God, you will witness that, oh, this is really the hand of God. This is really the hand of God. So also, number two, of what happens when we dwell in the presence of God. In his presence, as I mentioned earlier, there is fullness of unspeakable joy. In full, that can keep us active to please him at all times. Psalm 61 verse 11. Oh, sorry, 16. 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. You see, in the presence of God, we have joy. Joy is different from happiness. Sister Happiness. Joy is different from happiness. Joy is permanent. It radiates from inside out. Happiness is temporal. I'm not talking about Sister Happiness. So happiness, you know, maybe you got a gift. Somebody gave you a check of $10,000. Of $10,000. And you are so happy. Oh, you are bubbling with that. You are so happy. Oh, see the check that I got. The next day, maybe before the next day, so that person will not say, oh, please don't cash it. You go and deposit it in your bank account right away so that you can transfer the money. So now, you got the money. But maybe after a month, you know how the bills come in this country. The bills come every day. Every day in the mail. So you spend the money. You finish spending the money. Oh, people will notice that. The happiness has gone. Because you're happy you got the $10,000. But now when you finish spending the money, happiness is, Sister Happiness, God bless you. So, but joy, either you have money or not, that joy comes forth. You just be smiling. Oh, I love this, our mama. She goes on that drum and start dropping. You always see that joy on her. Ebuka's mom, she's always bubbling with joy. She will just be smiling because she has experienced Christ. And she allowed God to take charge of everything in her life. That is the same way. We have to allow him to take charge of our lives. He is the one that knows the career, the best career, my youth. He is the one that knows the career that you have to do in college. He's the one that knows. He said the Lord knows the way. All we have to do is to follow him. And that song said, in the presence of God, hallelujah, joy. In the presence of God, hallelujah, joy. Oh, hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. Oh, hallelujah, joy. Hallelujah, joy. In his presence, there is joy. That joy comes and flows out of us. No matter what circumstances, no matter what is going on, that joy is permanent in there. And we can only get that joy, that unspeakable joy, by dwelling in his presence. So, brethren, to have the fullness of joy, we have to dwell in his presence continually. Not just dwelling. One day, you dwell. Oh, when you have to do exam, and you don't understand what the lecturer will come and give you question. You start going to the Bible. Let me read the word of God. He said, I will have understanding more than my teacher.
But after the exam, you close your Bible.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about continually dwelling in his presence 24 hours, 7 days. Every minute, every second, you sit down. God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me? What do you want me to do today? He's the only one that knows the stages of our life. He's the only one that knows the right thing for us. He's the only one that knows the right person to marry. He's the only one that knows the right time to do what we have to do in everyday issues of our lives. So we have to dwell in his presence. So when we dwell in his presence, he will reveal the path of life to us. He will reveal that path to us. Even when we are going the wrong route, because we are dwelling in his presence, he will teach us the right thing. You see, this morning, something happened before I came here. And I realized it because I allowed God. And I told my husband, I'm sorry for this. You see, but if I don't allow God, pride will just fill my heart. I say, why will I say I'm sorry? You too, why can't you say he's sorry? If he's not saying he's sorry, I'm not saying I'm sorry. That is pride. But if you are dwelling in the presence of God, you will humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the presence of God, and he will exalt us. So we have to, when we dwell in his presence, we will know. Even if you do something wrong to your young child, maybe you have a five-year-old child, you do something that is not right. If the Holy Spirit convinces you, say sorry to that boy, say sorry to that girl, say it. Don't think, oh, because I'm the mother, why will I say sorry to my daughter? You can, by the grace of God. Because when you dwell in his presence, he always helps us to do what may be difficult to us in the human flesh, but by his grace, he's able to help us because we are dwelling in his presence. So joy comes from understanding the right path. Joy comes from understanding the right path. Joy comes from us understanding Christ, dwelling in his presence, and he will direct us in the right path, and we will enjoy all the pleasures. As that Psalm 16 says, at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. He has proposed us to enjoy every day of life. You know, whenever I listen to Joyce Meyer, that is always, God has brought us here to enjoy life. He has not brought us here to just be managing. Things will come up, but when we are dwelling in his presence, we will be filled with joy. Even if the bills are piled up there, he knows how to take care of it. Our own is just to trust him. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And never rely, never lean onto your own understanding. In all our ways, we should always acknowledge Christ. And he will bring everything to pass in our lives. So number three, what happens when we dwell in his presence? Dwelling in his presence makes his love to be real and clear to us. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. Christ will only dwell in our heart through our faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that is to understand with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, when we are dwelling in the presence of God, we will really be overwhelmed with his love, which comes from dwelling in his presence. You say, we will not be able, you see, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It passes our own understanding. Even the way he loves us, we cannot quantify it. Because the love that he has for us is so big. You see that song? The love that Jesus has for me is more than tongue can tell. His love can tell. has for us is far more than our tongue can tell. When we start worshiping and praising him for all that he has done for us, 24 hours, 7 days is not enough. Because he made us to sit together like this. We are dialing, we are chilling, we are enjoying in his presence. That is because we allow him to dwell in us. Please, any one of us that are here today, do not add in your heart. Allow God into your life because he brought us here. One day is like 1,000 years in his hand. Oh, sorry, 1,000 years is like one day. It's 1,000 years is like one day. Even if we spend 1,000 years in this world, we are going to go back to him and give account of how do we live the life that he gave us. Thank God for our mommy that is doing Thanksgiving, 88th birthday. Mommy, you will live and you will not die. With perfect health, you will live long by the grace of God. You see, but one day, we are going to go back to him. So what are we holding? Why are we withholding our life from him? Allow him, my brothers and sisters. Allow him and you will enjoy. You will enjoy your life more than you have been because you allow him. Let's allow Christ. Let's dwell in his presence because he owns our life. Understanding his love brings us to the level of operating his fullness. We just read it. When we understand the depth of his love, as we just sang, the love that Jesus has for us is more than tongue can tell. He went to the cross. God did not withhold him. He gave him to us. And he too, he came, he did the will of the Father. He said, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what can we not give for him? Let's give him all. It is not about us, that son. It is not about us, it's about him. Because he gave us life. He gave us strength. He gave us good health. He gave us a house, a dwelling, a physical dwelling to dwell. He gave us everything. So what are we withholding from him? Let's surrender all to him. Operating in his fullness means carnality is dead in us. But the spiritual man is active to his glory because we are dwelling in his presence. And he makes his love, we understand, we comprehend what is the depth of that love. What is the height? What is the width, the wideness of that love? We cannot quantify. It's so wide and it's so big. It's so deep. So we have to allow God. We have to make him our dwelling place. We have to allow him to dwell in us so that that his love will be clear to us and we'll be able to know, oh, Christ loves me. This is his plan for me. He said I will be the head and not the tail. He said he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So what do we need that he cannot provide? The God that holds the whole universe. Awesome and mighty God that we serve. So let's dwell in his presence. Number four, what happens when we dwell in his presence? Dwelling in his presence enables us to continually enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14. And then Philippians 2:1-2. So dwelling in his presence enables us to continually enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, he's telling us we will be able to enjoy the communion of the Holy Spirit. We have the Godhead. And he's dwelling in us. And we'll now be able to enjoy the communion of the Holy Spirit. You know, right here yesterday, we are talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. When God has given us the Holy Spirit, say the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our teacher. He's our guide. We don't have to grieve the Holy Spirit. We have to have a communion to have that attachment, to have the relationship and allow the Holy Spirit. Because God talks to us through the Holy Spirit that is in us. Because when we surrender our lives to Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. So now, for us to dwell in his presence will now help us to continually enjoy the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So communion with the Holy Spirit is essential, is very, very important in our lives as believers. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our helper, is our guide, is our teacher. So the fellowship of the Holy Spirit enables us to be in unity with the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It unifies us with God. That Holy Spirit unifies us with God. So fellowship with the Holy Spirit involves sharing our life in communion with God, because we allow him to lead us. As we read the word, through the Holy Spirit, he will give us a better understanding, a spiritual, deeper understanding. So it means living a life that is influenced and directed only by God, our thoughts, our motives, our feelings, attitude, and decisions are not directed by the wisdom of men and counsel of the ungodly, as we read in that Psalm 1. You see, we are not being directed by the ungodly, because we are dwelling in the presence of God. He's now the one that is directing our lives, because through the Holy Spirit, he will direct us. I will just quickly go back to that Psalm 1. I know, I think we read up to verse 3. I want us to read it to verse 6. So I will start reading from verse 4. Not so with the, let me start with 2. And it shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. That is, when we dwell in his presence. His leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Not so the wicked. Those disobedient and living without God are not so, but they are like the chaff, worthless, dead without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand justified in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Those are upright and in right standing with God. Verse 6. For the Lord knows and is fully acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those living outside God's will, shall perish, end in ruin, and come to naught. But God so loved the world. 2 Peter 3:9. God said he does not want the death of sinners, but to come unto repentance. Even though this is what is it, but God still loves them. He doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want them to be living ungodly, to be living in the wicked things that are happening in the world. But he wants them to come to him. So now for us, when we dwell in his presence, it enables us to have, you know, continual enjoyment of the fellowship and the communion with the Holy Spirit. So fellowship with the Holy Spirit means taking all that it takes to find out what pleases him. Because when we have the Holy Spirit, we will not just say, oh, I'm going to Maryland tomorrow. It is true you have to go to Maryland, but you have to commit your way unto God. God, I want to go to Maryland tomorrow. This and this I commit into your hands. I want your leading and direction. So you see, when we dwell in his presence, we will commit everything unto him. Even when we are eating, we commit the food unto him. Even what to eat, we ask him, God, I want to start eating this thing. I know it's a lot of me too. I'm in that field. When I go to the store, I read all the content in the food. If I see too much sodium, I say, no, not too much sodium. By the grace of God, we are youth. Our youth is renewed like an eagle. But at the same time, it's common sense. We have to look through what we are going to eat. We don't just eat everything. It's a lot of food out there. But when we dwell in his presence, he will lead and direct us to eat the right food. Thank God for mommy. She taught us so much yesterday that it is true. I thought about it. Some people here, we are grandmas. We have to eat right. We don't eat too late in the night. And you say, oh, I'm so hungry. When it's 12 o'clock, and you are eating farina. 12 o'clock. But when we dwell in his presence, when we dwell in his presence, we would understand that, oh, I'm not eating this food. Let me just drink water. Let me just eat banana and just go to bed. So because we are dwelling, we are having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You see, we are enjoying the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is directing us. He's telling us to drink more water than sugar. Yes, drink more water. Water is healthy. Even if you can drink as men, drink water instead of sugar. I'm just joking. Oh, you see, we have doctors, we have nurses by the grace of God. So, you know what I want to bring out is when we dwell in His presence, the Holy Spirit will give us direction on the right thing to eat, on the right path to go, on the right things to do every day. On our youth there, some people want to go for PhD. Thank God to the glory of God because they are going up and up and up by the grace of God. Ask God, I have the interest. I want to go further for my education. What do you want me to do? Not because everybody is doing it, there is money there. You don't go by that. You don't go by that. You go by God, I want to go further. What do you want me to do? Or be real with God. God, I have interest in this thing. Is that what you want me to do? Is that the path that you want me to go about? You don't just pick it and say, because, oh, many people are doing it. You see, when I first came here, I translated my transcript. I want to start nursing. I said, I want to do nursing because everybody told me, go and do nursing. I don't want to do nursing. Do it. There's money there. So me too, I started doing it. I started processing it. You know, when I went, because when I came, I refused to do this HHA. All of us, you will know what it is here. I said, I'm not doing that job. I sat down in the house. Nobody told me before I went. Because I sat down in the house. I sat down every day. I would be sleeping and waking up praying. I was so tired. So I went for the training. And when we went for the training, one day you have to go to the hospital to go and do like a practical. So when I went there, they gave me a patient that you have to that dealt with blood. I thought about it. I said, will I be able to do this nursing? I said, I don't think I can do. You see, I did not consult God. I did not put my plan in God's hand. I just took it because people are telling me, go and do this. So we can't do that when we are dwelling in His presence. It will help us to be able to go and ask for direction from Him. That was why I left it alone. I said, no, Mom, put it on the side. So what I'm saying in effect is we have to dwell in His presence and enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And through that, we'll be able to talk to Him. He wants to talk to us in a bosom manner. You see, a child will go to the mother or father. They will lean on them because that is because they have a relationship with their parents. And also, we have a relationship with God. We are dwelling in His presence. We'll be able to talk to Him. Even you are sitting down, you are drinking your ice cream, chilling, you are talking to God. Because He desires us to have that cordial relationship with Him. And then we'll now enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So fellowship of the Holy Spirit will constantly empower us from within, to be able to live and walk worthy of our calling as a child of God. Things of this world will matter less to us. Philippians 3:8, Amplified. Things of this world will matter less to us because we know our Father owns the whole world in His hands. And we are leaning and trusting in Him. Yes, furthermore, that is Paul. I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness. I like the way Amplify gives word. The surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. You see, those words are so with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, garbage, dregs, in order that I may win, I may gain Christ, the anointed one. That should be our focus. In order, we count everything as nothing. But when it comes to Christ, when it comes to dwelling in his presence, we are there, we are getting up, we are active. Nothing matters to us. Not that we will now, children, not that we will not be disrespectful. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that, you see, things of the world will matter less to us. We will just see it that, oh, it's fine. We will not make that thing, we will not make the things of the world to overwhelm us. But we allow Christ to overwhelm our life. We allow Christ to, you know, to take charge of everything in our lives. Brethren, captivating daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit is an exciting adventure that takes time and effort, but it's worth it. It can take time and effort. Sitting down, studying the word, sitting down, communing with him, talking to him in prayer, it will take effort, but it's worth it. Because we are building up that treasures in this world and when we get to him. So we have to dwell in his presence. And that presence, dwelling in his presence, will enable us to continually enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Number five, what happens when we dwell in his presence? Dwelling in his presence brings us to living in his purpose. When we dwell in his presence, it makes us to live in his plan and purpose for our lives. Psalm 1:1-3. You see, go there. Say, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. But now, when our delight is in the law of the Lord, and we are meditating on that law day and night, then it brings us to live in the plan and the purpose of God, because we allow him to direct us. Luke 15:11. We will not read up to 11-32. I know our time is far. Luke 11, we'll just read a few verses there. Then he said, a certain man, it's the story of the prodigal son. You see, the prodigal son, he took before the time that he's supposed to get his inheritance. He went to his father because he's acting in the wisdom of men. Because he did not allow, he's not dwelling in the presence of God. And he took all what his own share. And he went far off and spent everything lavishly. So we cannot discover God's plan for our life if we are outside of his sight. You see, that prodigal son is outside of the sight of God. That was when he just acted in his home. And he took it. So the prodigal son took his share of inheritance, went and lavished it in his own wisdom. He went out of the sight of the of his father and lost the right plan of the father. He went and lost that right plan. But when he came to himself, that is when he came to himself and the Holy Spirit allowed him to come to himself, he realized what he did and came back to his father's presence. Now, he was restored to his living God. He was restored to his living, to his living in God's plan and purpose in his life. He came back because he came to himself, and he went back, as I explained earlier on, that we have restoration and reconciliation. So he was restored back. So we have to allow God to dwell. We have to dwell in the presence of God, and this will bring us to live in the plan and the purpose of God for our lives. You see, all our children, we are praying that they will get there. Thank God so many of them are going to college this year. And next year, many are still going. That is God's hand. Because, you know, we bring them. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 22:6, train up a child in the way that it should go. You see, we are bringing them here. Even they are little. Something is going on to them. So because the class that I teach there is infancy to 2 years old. You know, to my amazement, I'm so happy when we are singing. You will see them singing the song. Sometimes they may be quiet, but sometimes the mothers come and give us testimony that, oh, the song that you sang, my daughter, my son is singing the song. So now, also, you see, what I'm saying here is, we you know, when we are living in the plan and purpose of God, because we are enabling those kids to dwell in His presence, we bring them to church. It's not that on Sunday morning we are just sleeping and say, oh, I'm not going to church, I just came back from work. But despite that fact, God gave us strength. We bring them here and they are learning. So now also we add or two, when we dwell in His presence, He brings us to living in His plan and purpose for our lives. And we thank God the way God is drawing them. Even those ones that are going far, God will draw them back because He loves them. Because He loves us. He doesn't want any one of us to go back to the world or be living in sin. He does not want the death of sinner, but to come unto repentance. Number six, what happens when we dwell in the presence of God? Dwelling in His presence gives us rest from all turmoil, anxiety, and confusion in the world today. There is too much turmoil. There is too much anxiety. There is too much confusion in the world. But when we dwell in His presence, out of the midst of that confusion, we are still, because the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. We are still and we are at rest because we know that nothing, everything that is happening around us, as we read in Psalm 91, say nothing shall come near us because we are resting. We are dwelling in the secret place of the Almighty. And we are abiding under His presence. So when we dwell in His presence, God will always go before us each day. He brings rest and perfect peace upon our lives, upon our way, upon everything that we do in our day-to-day activities, in our day-to-day life, at our places of work. He gives us rest, even if people are complaining, oh, this is too much. But sometimes I always tell them, but thank God you have a job. Be grateful that you have a job. Sit down there and do what you have to do. Why are you complaining? At least we have a job. Some people are going out every day to apply for a job. But we have that job. We sit down there and do what we have to do. And when we dwell in His presence, we will not complain, because the Holy Spirit will help us to be content and do what we have to do without complaining. Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Please, you can write down Matthew 6, 25, verse 27 and 31. We'll not read that. We'll just read Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Do not fret. You see, when you are dwelling in the presence of God, you will not fret. Even though you hear news on the TV, you hear news, you see things happening, you will not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. That is when we are dwelling in His presence. We will not have anxiety. We will have rest. Our mind will be at rest. And we will just lean on Him. So He told us to be still and know that He is God. Number seven, what happens when we dwell in His presence? Dwelling in His presence. So let me quickly finish that. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of His salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and being content with His earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, this is for us, whatever is worthy of reference and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. So He's telling us to fix our mind on what God says we have. You see, I like that song. I know who God says I am. You see, we know who God says we are. And we are boasting in him. We are not boasting. It's not pride. We are just being content. And we are resting on him. That, oh, this is our God. He has given us all. Practice what you have learned. We have to practice what we have learned. And receive and heard and seen in Christ. In me. And model your way of living on it. We should model our way of living Christ-like. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Amen. So dwelling in his presence, that is what happens when we dwell in his presence. Dwelling in his presence brings overwhelming victory upon our lives and day-to-day situations of life. Romans 8, 37 to 39. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. When we dwell in his presence, you see, we will have overwhelming victory. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death. That means we should not fear death, because death is a transition. Is a transition to God, to the presence of our God. We are just transcending. You see, they will tell us that, oh, they are sleeping. We will still see them on the last day when we get to heaven. So neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. You see, that is what he's telling us. 39. No power in the sky above or in the heart below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we are dwelling in his presence, we will have that overwhelming victory over everything. Because he said, we will tread upon serpents and scorpions. They will not have aught over us. He said, he will be with us. He will never leave us. So no matter what is going on, we are victorious. That means we have overwhelming victory because we are dwelling in his presence. Dwelling in his presence. Number 8, what happens when we dwell in his presence? Dwelling in his presence, there is safety, protection, and provision for all our needs. Psalm 27, verse 4 to 5, and then Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 27, 4. One thing, that is David, one thing I have desire of the Lord, and that should be our desire, my brothers and my sisters. That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm not talking about physical, even though we come together, because we cannot neglect the fellowship together. But I'm talking about the spirit dwelling. We allow that spirit. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. That is, he shall hide us because we are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide us, he shall set us on high upon a rock, that no evil shall befall us, because we are dwelling in his presence. And in his presence, we have safety, even though things are happening. You see, every time I remembered what I went through, it will be almost a year now, at my house, I just give thanks to God, because that can only be God. It could only be God that can do that. That I'm sleeping under a big gun, not knowing, and God kept us. That could be our only awesome God. If you have not tasted, that word in the Bible, Psalm, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Indeed, our God is good. If you have not tasted God, I'm inviting you to come and taste him today. And it will change your life. You will never remain the same. He's the only one that can protect. Even if you are in the midst of guns all around you, and you are dwelling in his presence, nothing of that gun will touch you, because you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, I will use that to close. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 9. That is what I'm concluding with. Please, let us dwell in his presence. In his presence, there is unspeakable joy. In his presence, there is safety. In his presence, there are pleasures evermore. In his presence, whatever you need, he's able to provide. He said, I will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Even if you don't have any money in your wallet, believe that the Lord is able to meet your needs at the right time. He's able to, because he's the one that is meeting our needs. From the first day of the month to the last day, go and calculate the money you spend. It outweighs the income that you are getting. And that is God. Because no matter what outweighs it, he's able to provide. Because he's the great provider. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. No foe can withstand. Our God is a great God. Verse 2, please. That is what I will use to come. I'm sorry, I'm taking too much time. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on him I lean and rely. And in him I confidently trust. We have to confidently trust in him without fidgeting. Without any iota of just any fear in our heart. We should stand our head up because we are dwelling in that secret place of the Almighty God. Verse 3, please. For then he will deliver you and I from the snare of the fowler. And from the deadly pestilence, no sickness shall remain in our body, because we are healed by his stripes. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wing shall you trust and find refuge, and find abode. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. It's a shield, we are leaning on it. It's that shield that is holding us. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. What is that dream that you dreamt about? You wake up and stand up and cancel those dreams, because that is not the plan of God. The Bible says, for the thought that I have towards you are the thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plot and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. Verse 6. Nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Verse 9. Okay, sorry, 8. Only a spectator, you'll be looking as if you go to the field, the stadium to watch football. Only a spectator you shall be yourself. You'll be looking, because God is giving you victory. He's destroying those things. Inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. 9. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, and the Most High your dwelling place. Praise the Lord. So please, I'm inviting you. If you have not made a decision to follow Christ, if you have not given your life to Christ, this is an opportunity. It's an open opportunity for us to surrender. So please, can we rise up? If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, this is a day.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks, and remain blessed.